Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Everyone, this is your good friend Patrick O'Dowd, joined, of course, as always, by his good friend, the lawyer David Ungar, and we are here to welcome you into another edition of Hockey Talk. Hockey Talk is, of course, a part of the Chairshot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And Dave, I'm kind of glad to talk about hockey today, because sports has been making me the sad this week as we record here on Sunday. Yesterday, my beloved University of Illinois choked away a possible victory at home against the number one team in the country, Tennessee. In the last 3.5 minutes of the game, up 3, had back-to-back atrocious inbounds plays, followed by a missed free throw that would have given you a 1-point lead with 6 seconds to go. Said it was a tie game, and Tennessee, without their two best players on the floor, gets it to their third best player, who takes the ball coast to coast on the inbounds. Nobody stops the ball. Layup, victory, Tennessee Volunteers as time expires. Sad day indeed. The St. Louis Cardinals, my beloved St. Louis Cardinals, literally articles that say, with no acquisitions being made at the trade deadline, I'm just having to make my, or at the, over the break, over the offseason, I'm having to make my peace with trading away Nolan Arenado to, apparently, the word is the Houston Astros, because they need to get better.
Yeah.
And just knowing that this season for baseball is going to be a waste of my time. Like, glad that we're doing musical chairs and not covering baseball.
Are we?
Because waste of my time.
Thank you, thanks to Spotify.
We'll try. Well, apparently we get flagged all the time, and nobody ever tells us.
Like, that's nice. Like, thank you, Greg.
Yeah, he doesn't care. Like, he really doesn't care. We're not getting fined. We're not getting, like, nobody's coming after.
And I really doubt the artists could give two shits, because, like, well, they're not using it. They're just talking about us. I mean, what's the big deal?
Right. Technically, there are ways to, like, if we're actively talking about it, and we played it while we were actively talking about them, like, that's one of the ways it's legit. I did learn the urban legend that is the 30 seconds of play thing. Like, it's not exactly the way it gets. So you got to be careful with that. But for whatever, that's neither here nor there. The one thing I got going for me is college football. My beloved Fighting Illini getting to play in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, which is the highest ranked Big Ten bowl outside of the college football playoff. So
I know you did the college football. Do they?
So, we didn't yet. Oh, we didn't. We haven't recorded it yet. So it was supposed to get recorded last Monday.
With the playoff, they don't have a New Year's Six more, do they? Or
they still use those bowls. Okay. So if you go and you look, like, the quarterfinal game are the Peach Bowl, or the semifinal. Maybe it's the semifinals. It's like the New Year's Six take up. No, it's the quarterfinal, semifinal, because the final is the final. So you have, like, the Peach Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, and the Sugar Bowl. Those are the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and then the final, and they rotate. And it's it's interesting, but the Citrus Bowl is the first Big Ten bowl outside of the college football playoff. And since four Big Ten teams made it into the college football playoff, Illinois as the fifth team got the Citrus Bowl, where they drew arguably the best remaining SEC team in terms of who gives a shit, because Alabama isn't going to care. Ole Miss probably would have been fun too, because Lane Kiffin and Brett Bielema were jibber jabbering back and forth on Twitter. But we drew South Carolina, which has a young, hungry team and one of the best defenses. And I'm like, well, shit. We're 11.5-point underdogs. Like, I anticipate Illinois getting smoked. Illinois defensively isn't the best team in the world. They're front. They've struggled to stop the run all year. They have a solid secondary, but really outside of their solid secondary, their defensive front line and linebacker play has left something to be desired. And every game's a challenge. Every game Illinois has won outside of Eastern Illinois has been in doubt in the fourth quarter.
I meant to ask you, so are you still playing NCAA College Football 25?
Yes and no. Like, it's always, NCAA football has always been a game that I play when I'm in a gaming lull. And the problem is that Larian Studios did such a good job with Baldur's Gate 3 that I'm now on my second playthrough. I'm in Act 2. I've completed a completely different character type. I'm about to recruit a character I didn't recruit last time, which will cost me a recruit I did recruit the first go around. So the game is still extremely horny. That hasn't changed. Like, everybody wants to have sex with your main character, which I think is hilarious. But the game's still fun. It hasn't lost its luster. That's the thing that I really appreciate.
Asking because the price on NCAA 25 and Madden 25 both dropped considerably, probably for the holidays. And I know most of the bugs have now been worked out of both games. And so it's like, oh, this might be the time to pull the trigger on it.
Well, and the thing that's kind of fun about pulling the trigger on NCAA now is you'll get all the stuff that keeps coming as downloads. Like, all of the alternate uniforms from this season for all these teams are in the game. Travis Hunter, who just won the Heisman, apparently just got re-ranked now to a 99 on EA 25 after winning the Heisman.
I was going to say, like, because I'll talk about it on Bandwagon Nerds and What You Watching, but like, ratings, like the Madden ratings and the whole episode, like at least half of episode talking about, you know, how it's not just this random thing that these guys do. It's a very involved process that I had no idea. It's like, wow.
Right.
It's really, and it's a periodic review
too. I still haven't watched that documentary yet.
It's good. But I'm in the third episode. It's cause yeah, I mean, if you were like us and you came in, you know, in the early 90s with Madden football and that sort of, there's a lot of nostalgia and the feels about, you know, just how that game kind of, it's a fascinating story. We're not here to talk.
Yeah.
About.
I do want to see that. I do want to watch that, and that'll be down the road. I'm currently going through the Christmas watch list right now. That's where I am. In fact, today was one that is Christmas on a technicality, the Chronicles of Narnia, the Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. I then followed that with a Muppet Christmas Carol, and currently have paused on the television Home Alone as we're getting into those fun holiday shows I enjoyed from the 90s that aren't the enduring ones that I always wrap up the holiday season. But okay, I think that's enough talk. We got to talk some hockey. There's some great news and headlines out here. I'm going to start. We're going to talk some standings. Lo and behold, the Toronto Maple Leafs are in first over there in the Eastern, in the Atlantic. Welcome back, Austin Matthews. Although they did lose yesterday, but that was by no fault of Austin Matthews. He's having a great return to the ice. Also, don't look now, the Boston Bruins, who 2 weeks ago when they made their coaching change, was like, it hasn't really done anything. Well, they're in third now. They're in third on the way up. They're 6-4 out of the last 10. Good stuff. But I really wanted to focus on your Capitals because, yeah. First of all, but you're bitching. You've won four straight.
I'm not bitching.
So you don't get to cry.
I'm not bitching at all because
sometimes your tone is hard to read. Let's talk about this little article that dropped on NHL.com today at around 11:30 this morning. I'm going to read you the title because the buzz is Ovechkin practices with Capitals for first time since injury. was updated to 117. This is the NHL Buzz article. Alex Ovechkin took part in the morning skate for the Capitals prior to their 4-2 win against the Buffalo Sabres on Saturday, his first time skating with the team since he fractured his left fibula against the Utah Hockey Club. He was wearing a non-contact jersey, did skills work, then took part in drills at the beginning of the skate. Prior to Saturday, Ovechkin had been skating on his own before practice. It's another step, and it has not yet been determined whether Ovechkin will travel with the team on its road trip to Dallas and Chicago next week. But for a team that has played very, very well in his absence and had played really, really, really well with him, where he wasn't expected to be the guy to do everything, this has got to be good news for your Caps, right? This has got to have you feeling pretty great about how things are going.
I'm going to go out. I mean, this is hyperbolic as hell as can be. Yep. They're cup contenders.
You're hyperbolic.
Yeah, they are legit cup contenders. And I did not.
Well, you have to say that in December. You're in December. We're 30 games into the season. Yeah, like
they have won 10 in a row on the road. I watched these guys play since Ovechkin went. It's like they always give up the first goal. And they're like, yeah, no big deal. And then they come back and win every single game. It's Alexi Protas has emerged into. I was like, okay, he's just a pretty good, ancillary player. No, he's actually a real threat. They're maybe one or two pieces away. And here's the thing. When Ovechkin gets back, they're probably not going to get worse. And now they know how to score without him. And so now all these guys have figured this stuff out. No, I mean, they're going to be, like I said, you cannot understate the work that Carberry's done. That goaltending tandem of Thompson and Lindgren is way more effective than Kemper, because last year was all Charlie. You know, Darcy was just ass last year. Now they got this 1-2 punch in goal. They're playing better defense. I did not see this coming for these guys, but the younger guys have really stepped forward and learned how to play in the absence of their leader. And his presence is only going to open things up for everybody else. So yeah, they're a fun team to watch. I mean, they just nothing fazes them. It's weird watching them. It's like, they always give up the first goal, Pat. This road streak, they always give up the first. It doesn't matter. They get you in the third period. And if you're tied in the third period, they're probably going to beat you. Dallas will be a good test. Chicago will not, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Dallas jumped up and got my booze in overtime yesterday as we talk about this trade with the Anaheim Mighty Ducks notwithstanding. You can't deny that they're not for real, and that's awesome.
No, I mean, like, everything that people bitched about with them last year has been, you know, basically squashed this year. They're not sneaking up on anybody. They're not winning off of a technicality. Their goal differential is stellar this year, unlike last year. So, yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, I like, you know, you started off talking about the Atlantic division.
Sure.
I mean, no, we'll see. I mean,
I got an approach on this today as I look at this, because I also want to, I'm doing a lot of don't look now. And the other don't look now, they just claimed the I think the last wild card spot in the West. Let me get back to the article. The Colorado Avalanche starting to move up. They moved past Vancouver for the first wild card spot in the Western Conference on the strength of one Nate McKinnon, who followed up a 5-point performance with a multi-point adding to get to the 50-point mark. And is the first person or first player to get the 50-point mark this season. It's only the third time in Colorado Avalanche franchise history that one of their players has been the first to 50 points. The other two were Mikko Rantanen and Peter Forsberg. Pretty good company to be in. It was his 90th career 3-point night. The Avalanche seem to be doing this thing. They did this last year, too. Should we just accept that they're going to be a slow starting team?
It sure looks that way. They're, and they're one of these teams that always seems to deal with like an injury bug at the beginning of the year. And then they kind of get healthier as the year goes on and they tend to play really well. I would not, honestly, at this point, I know they've got all this talent. I would not put them in the upper echelon of the Western Conference contenders right now, but they're going to be there. You know, they're going to be in the conversation. They're going to compete for that wild card. You look out west and there's just like just glancing at the standings. There's some teams that are a little bit lower than I think you would have expected. Colorado being one of them. Vancouver is surprising. You know, they're a little, but they're not that far off the pace sort of thing. But yeah, Colorado will be good. I mean, Gorgiev, I think, is their goalie right now, and I don't know about him long term in the playoffs. But like you said, they're a slow starter. They catch fire. They make the playoffs. They are, you know, once they're in, they're going to be dangerous, because you cannot discount guys like Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, all that experience. They know how to win.
Yeah, very much so. They have won it all in the past. One time. But, you know, get it done.
I wanted to ask you about a team. Since we talked about them last week, the Rangers keep losing, Pat. Shesterkin is not.
So don't worry. They're playing my Blues today. They're going to be back on track. No problem today. It's going to be fine as the Blues enter into a back-to-back road game. So fun. Hey, let's go play in Dallas and then go play in New York. Too cool.
That's, and your guys, I think they're what? They're just kind of like right at hovering at 500 sort of thing.
Yeah, they're six. They're 14-14 on the nose. Three overtime games. They did lose. They got their overtime point, but they lost in overtime to Dallas yesterday. They had a 1-0 lead to start the game, and then in, you know, typical Blues fashion, we give it back. They play the Rangers at 5 Eastern today. I take it back. The game against the Rangers is at home, so okay. My bad. Well, but still, back to back games.
I mean, that bodes well, playing the Rangers at home. That gives you a better shot, I think, than playing it. But I don't know, man. Shesterkin is like, see, I don't want, and okay, here's the wrestling reference of a hockey talk today. I don't want him to turn into like the Mercedes Monet of the NHL, where he gets the bag and just like stops excelling, that sort of thing. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think that's what happened at all. But
they're a team I can't figure the Rangers out. There's something wrong there. I don't know. I can't put my finger on.
Well, you take a look at them. They. It's actually more of a defensive problem, I would say, this year. Believe it or not, because you talked about it. It's not just the goaltending. It's also the guys stopping teams from rushing. Like, I look at goal differential a lot. You know that. I talk about it all the time. They're only a +2 in goal. Yeah. And when you're only a +2 in goal differential, then that tells me that you're either playing a lot of high scoring games or you're playing from behind a lot. You're not stopping the puck. And you know, you compare it, you know, oddly enough, it's interesting. The team that's right in front of them, the Philadelphia Flyers, they're even worse. But you look at them, they should be better, but they're not outpacing their offense defensively.
What's like wild.
And their offense.
Looking at like you're talking
their
about
offense isn't again. But
no, you're talking about goal differential. It's crazy to me. Like, look at the last place team, the Columbus Blue Jackets, have 100 goals. That's 10 more than the Rangers. Now they've given up 107, which is a problem. But
it could be Pittsburgh.
But yeah, you know, and you look at the Rangers as far as offensive output next to the Islanders, which is almost as shocking. They're the worst goal producing team in the Metro. And this goes back to what we said 2 years ago. Their problem is scoring, not defense. And even now you still look at it and say, is it Igor or is it the fact that these guys can't score? And I think it's probably the latter right now. They're not scoring. You compare them to the top three team. Washington's got 115, Devils 110, Carolina 104. There's your problem right there.
Yes. And again, it's going to get better today. They're going to come to St. Louis and they're going to win. I will say this is their third back-to-back set of the season. They're really good on that second game. Did you realize in the past two seasons, the Rangers are 12-2-0 in the second half of a back-to-back set?
That's impressive.
And in 2023, in the last season, they were 11-1-0. That's kind of nuts.
And I think the Rangers are one of these teams that they're going to make some sort of move at the deadline. I mean, already rumors that Chris Kreider's on the
team. Well, they have to.
Yeah, they got rid of Trouba.
Well, here's the other thing. They're averaging 30.5 shots per game. That's sixth most in the NHL. So it's not for lack of trying.
Yeah,
they're a weird anomaly. I got to get out. I got too many website tabs open on different teams. Fun stats though. A lot of fun things to do with that. Speaking of fun, we are going to take our first commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about two fun things happening in the NHL. And I hope you're ready for. I'm putting this on you, but you're going to have to put on your memory banks. Put on your thinking cap for at least one of these, okay? So be ready to go. We're going to hit our first commercial break. When we come back, we're going to make Dave do a little thinking. I got to do a little thinking too, but I'm going to put most of it on you. So stick around for that. We'll be right back. You're listening to Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com. Make sure if you love what we're doing, you head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot for all of your chair shot shirt needs. We got some great designs out there. Still no Hockey Talk shot shirt, Dave. I don't know what's up with that.
The NHL said no to use.
Gotcha. Well, and we're lazy. Like, we'd have to design it. That's, yeah. Like, right?
Or get Aesop probably to do it.
Yeah, he's a busy man. Okay, so time for my wrestling reference. Remember that part of the show where I told you I was going to make you think right after the commercial break? I lied! I want to make you finish the show. Think about the first thing I want to do is talk about what are your plans, to quote the famous holiday song, what are you doing New Year's Eve?
Probably not much of anything.
Are you going to watch the Winter Classic outdoor Wrigley Field Blues Blackhawks fun little environment?
That's New Year's
Eve. We were going to talk about this last week. What?
That's New Year's
Eve. New Year's Eve in the afternoon. I got to figure out how I'm going to watch it because, again, Illinois plays New Year's Eve. Like, that's when the Citrus Bowl is. So I got to watch Illinois get smoked by South Carolina first. But, yeah, so hockey's Winter Classic. First time it's ever been in Chicago. First time they're going away from, like, high-performing marquees, though they are involving the team with Connor Bedard, who is now no longer a rookie and trying to survive in the shitstorm that is Chicago hockey. And I'd sent you renderings of what they were going to, how they were going to set Wrigley Field up and what it was going to look like. I do think, to the NHL's credit, and you can look at it, like, they have a whole part of their webpage showing the things that they've got going on there. They've got a special series called Road to the Winter Classic that you can actually watch on HBO Max as well as on TNT. They're busting out classic jerseys for this. They've got the Smashing Pumpkins and Chance the Rapper to perform at the game. It looks pretty great. And I love this for the city of Chicago. The artist renderings, if this is how, if you all see the pictures and you look at what this field design is going to look like, it looks pretty great. If this is what it actually looks like, kudos to the NHL and to the grounds team at Wrigley Field, because this looks pretty awesome. And hopefully it'll be a true Chicago winter and cold enough to where it looks like the real deal. But I like that they're doing this at Wrigley and not someplace stupid like Soldier Field, where it's just this massive arena that's not going to get full. Wrigley is smaller. It's intimate. It's right in the heart of Chicago, and, you know, in the north side. I like this. I think this looks really great.
So they've actually done one at Wrigley Field before. I don't know if you, the second one was actually in Wrigley in 2009.
That was like a million years ago.
They haven't been back there since then.
Literally, you just said it was 13 years ago.
I know. I don't think it's going to look anything like it did in 09 for that. Who was then that one? Oh, Detroit and Chicago. It was a crowd. 40,818. It's a good crowd. So I think, yeah.
They like their hockey out there.
They do. And everybody loves it. Don't they normally do it on New Year's Day? So this will be unique that they're doing it New Year's Eve. I looked at what you had for the setup. This doesn't look anything like it did 13 years ago. They've really,
yeah. There's like this logo, and there's they got the ivy represented on the grounds. Yeah. Like, that's pretty cool.
And compare in contrast, you know, the second Winter Classic, it was still a new sort of thing, and the NHL didn't realize what they had on their hand, which was a major attraction. And hockey doesn't have a major attraction. I mean, the Stanley Cup does decent numbers, but, you know, I think probably more people tune in for the Winter Classic than just about anything else hockey related through the year. So it's a big marquee thing for them.
Yeah. The only thing that, you know, you talk about rating, it is, I think it's on TNT this year, if I'm seeing correctly.
I gotta guess not quite. You gotta guess it's one of their highest rated show. I mean, like I know last year the finals did,
but
well.
It used to be. Didn't it used to be on ABC or NBC though, or something like that? You used to be on one of the like, network,
right.
And that he felt like it would be pretty cool. So I don't know. I think it looks really cool. I think it's a nice setup. Looking forward to that game and a great showcase for hockey, even if it is two teams in the Midwest that aren't exactly like their fan bases are very loyal. I don't know that they're the national brands that a New York Rangers are, or of Philadelphia Flyers or Pittsburgh Penguins, even the Detroit Red Wings, though they are who they once were.
Right. But I like that they always, it's not so much like they look for venues, I think, dictate things more than the teams involved. And they're like, where can we put this? I mean, okay, they got, 104,000 at the Big House for that game in 2014, which is an NHL attendance record that I don't think we're going to see broken ever. Unless they go back there,
right.
Sort of thing. But yeah, it's always like, usually like they turn the baseball stadiums into, these hockey arenas, and they give it that certain fresh look. And you're like, wow, I don't think you would look at it and say, I didn't think it would work that way in this stadium, but it really does. But I agree with you. I mean, while Soldier Field would have, I don't know, there'd be a certain je ne sais quoi about that. It's better in a Wrigley Field environment.
Too big.
Yeah.
Too big. They're not going to fill it the same way. The other thing that I wanted to talk about with regards to the Winter Classic is, and this was announced yesterday from NHL Public Relations, and I put it in our individual chat, beginning on December 30th and going through January 31st, so basically a month, the NHL has announced that they will be day by day announcing members of each franchise's quarter century team. So the Blues get to go first because they're participating in the Winter Classic on the 30th. The Blackhawks, because it's the day of the broadcast and they're the host, their team will be revealed on Tuesday the 31st. And then it looks like it, I don't know that there's a rhyme or reason from there, just looking at how things roll out. But they are rolling out teams every day, and your Washington Capitals will be revealed on Saturday, January 18th. And so, as I sit down and I look at this and I'm like, well, okay, so Vladimir Tarasenko, there'll be a first team and a second team, these quarter century teams. They will have three forwards, two defensemen, and a goaltender. It will be selected by a panel of media, retired players, and executives. And players under consideration for the selection are those who have appeared in a game for the respective franchises since January 1st, 2000. Instantly. And I have to go back and look, because I don't know if who was, I like, I'm sitting there, I was trying to do my Rolodex of like who was with the Blues back at the beginning of that front. I think Chris Pronger was still on the team in 2000. I can't remember when they got rid of him. I think that Jordan Binnington will probably be the goalie for the Blues, because he won the Stanley Cup for the Blues in 2019. So that kind of stands to reason that they would put him on the all quarter century. And then Vladimir Tarasenko, I think, is without question, even though he is no longer with the Blues, he will be on there. And then I wonder if an Alex Pietrangelo will be on there or not, because he was part of that Cup team. He was an integral part of that Cup team, but he's not with the franchise anymore. He's over in Vegas. But I think this is fun. I by no means think this is definitive and that people need to get up in their arms and upset about it. It's literally 11 players. So, like, that's not a ton of players. Outside of Ovi, for you, Dave, I wanted to get your thoughts. Who would you like to see from your Capitals on this quarter-century team?
Well, Braden Holtby is clearly going to be the goalie, because he's the goalie that won in the Cup, and no other goaltender in other than Olaf Kolzig, and he's before 2000, I would think, is the only other goalie I can think of for the Caps that stands out. I mean, Nicholas Backstrom will be there for sure as the center and the main assist guy for Ovechkin. John Carlson will be one of the defensemen. There's very little doubt about that. After that, maybe Mike Green as the other defenseman, he wasn't very good as a defender, but he set one of the scoring marks for defenders as an offensive defenseman. He's very beloved by the Caps community. I could see him making it in there. After that, man, I really got to think about who else has been you know, I think about all those teams that failed, you know, who came so close, couldn't get over the hump. And
kind of, I got another defenseman for the Blues, Al McInnis. Yes. Al McInnis will be.
Did he play? Monday.
Yeah, wow. He was, because Pronger broke his arm in 2002, and McInnis was named interim captain. He was the team's, he was the league's leading scorer amongst defensemen.
Yeah, I think, yeah, okay, that makes sense. So it's what? How many forwards they get? Five? Did you say, or?
It's six forwards, four defensemen, one goalie.
Yeah, Braden's certainly going to be the goalie. The defensemen, the Caps don't have a lot of like defensemen who really stand out. God, they might give like Devontae Smith-Pelly, just because he was so clutch in that cup run, for the Caps. Maybe I could see that. That would be a nice way of giving a nod to him. But yeah, beyond that, TJ is probably going to be considered TJ Oshie.
Oh, I forgot about it. Cause Oshie was a Blue.
He was a Blue as well. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that'd be kind of cool if he got it for both of our teams. I'd be like, hey.
Well, that's the thing about Tyrus. I think Tyrus Seguin is clearly a Blue. I don't think he'll get it for the Rangers, or I don't know who's he even playing for now. I can't even remember where he is right now. But yeah, I mean, he was a Blue for 7 years, 08 to 15. So
yeah, it'll be an interesting. I'll be curious. I'd have to like really stretch my memory banks to kind of remember like the team in 2010 who just steamrolled everybody in the regular season and then fell apart in the playoffs.
You know what I am jealous of though? I'm jealous of teams like the Boston Bruins, the Tampa Bay Lightning, these teams at Pittsburgh, yeah. These teams with like fucking legacy players that you just know who's going to be on there because they were so damn good. Actually, their challenge is that they were so good that who's going to get left off? Whereas I'm like sitting here as a Blues fan, I'm like, well, who's going to be on it?
Right. Yeah, if you're the Penguins, it's like, well, okay, we got Crosby, we got Malkin, we got Gensel, we've got all sorts of people that you can choose from.
Right. All of Colorado's them. The same way.
Colorado's the same way. And you look at the teams, the Blackhawks in the early part of the decade before they started sucking. You know, you got Pat, you got Kane, right. You got Taze, or, you know, you got Corey Crawford as their goaltender, probably.
Yeah, I was like, who is that goalie? There was a goalie that used to piss me off all the time. Does Jonathan Quick get it for Los Angeles?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he won two cups for them. And they don't get anywhere.
He was unstoppable too. Like it was insane how good he was.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like Carey Price is going to get it for Montreal as far as goaltenders go, you know, that sort of thing.
Yep.
You know, McDavid, of course, he's going to be in Edmonton and you know, it'd be interesting if they put Bedard in there this early since he really hasn't proven much of anything. And you look at the wealth of Blackhawks players. Yeah. I don't know how you slip Connor in there right now.
Right. Well, yeah, I don't think you do. So anyway, lots of fun. Just something that I thought would be a nice way to wrap up the show, thinking about some of our greats of the last 25 years. And then also a sad reminder that my team hasn't been that great as of in recent memory. And in fact, even in that magical 2019 season, dead last.
At one point, but they...
At one point.
Yeah, my guys are a little top heavy, I would say. It's like, okay, there's a few identifiable guys, and then the depth, not so much.
Exactly. All right. Well, we got to wrap this show up. We're going to head out of here. Dave, but before we do, tell everybody where they can find you on the socials and on the Chairshot Radio Network.
You can find me on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG, Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression, and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads.
And you can follow me on the socials at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. You can catch me every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday here on the Chairshot Radio Network. Monday's talking nerdy stuff with Dave and a cast of characters. Tuesday's talking hockey or music with one David Elgar. And Wednesday's talking wrestling with Craig DeMarco when we feel like it. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Hockey Talk. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will catch you next week. And until then, enjoy the upcoming holiday season. We're getting into some trades. It's that time of year where stuff starts to really heat up in the NHL. We're going to be here for it, and we're going to be here to talk to you about it as some of those more impactful trades for teams that matter a little bit more than the Anaheim Ducks and the St. Louis Blues do, sadly. I wish I could say that you know, the Blues are moving the needle on their season. It just kind of is what it is. I hope I have to eat my words, but I doubt it. So, yeah, thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.